This is the first of two sermons that Calvin preached on the fourth commandment, and this sermon is dated Thursday, the 20th of June, 1555. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Keep the day of rest to hallow it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy business, but the seventh day is the rest of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not do any work therein. Father, I pray that you bless this reading of this facsimile of Calvin's sermon, and I pray that you would take it and use it to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ, and make it a blessing to us all. Thank you, Lord, that we can dig into the preaching of 5 centuries ago and benefit as if it was preached today. Oh, Lord, help in the reading, Lord, help in the hearing, and help us also to ourselves obey your word, Lord, and to be desirous that our lives would be glorifying to you by our not slavish obedience to your law, but our delightful desire to honour your name, to honour your Son, Jesus Christ, because he's died for us and paid the penalty for our sins. And Father, I pray therefore that you'd help us now, bless us and be with us as we consider this sermon together. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. After the word he had spoken of the pure worshipping and serving of God to the glorifying of his name, without taking it of it either in oaths or in other things, otherwise than in way of honour, now mention is made of God's service accordingly as he hath required it in his law, and of the order which he hath set down for the faithful to exercise themselves therein. As, for example, the Sabbath day of rest was a figure partly to show that men could not serve God dutifully, but by mortifying all that ever is of our own nature, and by dedicating themselves therewithal in such sort unto him, as they may be, as it were, quite separated from the world. Secondly, the day of rest was a ceremony to bring the people together, that they might hear the law, and call upon the name of God, and offer the sacrifices and all other things that concern the spiritual government. Thus, then, we see now after what sort the Sabbath day was spoken of, but yet would it not be well understood, without distinction, and without laying forth of the said two parts by piecemeal. Therefore we have to note that the Sabbath, or day of rest, was a shadow under the law, till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, to do me to understand that God requireth that they should utterly cease from their own works, and that is it which I meant in one word when I said, we must mortify all that ever is of our own nature, if we will conform ourselves to our God, and that it is so. St. Paul declareth, and besides that, we have records now thereof in the New Testament, but it shall suffice to have alleged that which is most apparent, namely to the Colossians, where it is said that we have the substance and the body of the things that were under the law. We have it, saith he, in Jesus Christ, that's Colossians 2:17. And therefore it was requisite for the fathers of old time to be trained in this hope, as well by the day of rest as by some other ceremonies. But now that the thing itself is given unto us, we must no more stay upon the shadows. Indeed, the law is not so abolished, but that we ought to hold still the substance and truth of it. But yet is the shadow of it done away by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If it be demanded how the fathers of old time knew that, Moses hath given us understanding thereof, as it is showed sufficiently in the book of Exodus. For God, having set forth his law in the 20th of Exodus, which he uttered unto Moses, telleth him to what end it tendeth, saying that he had ordained the Sabbath day to be as a warrant of the sanctifying of the people of Israel unto him. It is, saith he, a badge of my holiness, which I have ordained among you. Now when, as the Scripture speaketh to us of being made holy unto God, it is to separate us from all things that are contrary to his service. But where is such pureness to be found? We be in the world, and we know that in the world there is nothing but utter frowardness and naughtiness, as saith St. John in his canonical epistle. That's 1 John 5:15. But men need not to go out of themselves to have battle against God and his righteousness, for all ourselves all our senses and all our affections, says St. Paul in the sight of the in the 8th of Romans, Romans 8:7, are enemies unto God. When men give heed to their own thoughts, desires, likings, and lusts, they make open war against God. We know how it is told us in the 6th of Genesis, that all that ever man can imagine is always evil, and that all that ever man deviseth in himself and hath of his own store is utterly untoward and corrupt before God. So then we see well that we cannot be sanctified to our God, that is to say, we cannot serve him undefiledly, except we be separated from the defilings that are contrary to him, and that the things which are of our own nature be abolished. Now it was requisite that all these things should be figured to the ancient fathers, because Jesus Christ was not yet fully revealed unto them. But we in these days have the full accomplishment and performance of all things in Jesus Christ. And for proof thereof, St. Paul saith that the old man is crucified with him. Whereas St. Paul speaks after that sort of the old man, he meaneth the things that we have from Adam, all which must be ripened and done away. Not as touching the substance of our body or of our soul, but as touching naughtiness that is in us. The blindness that make us to go astray, and the wicked lusts and likings which are utterly disobedient to God's righteousness, must be beaten down, because they be drawn from Adam. And how is that done? Not by our own power or policy, but by our Lord Jesus Christ, who, by dying for us, to wipe away our sins, they might no more be imputed unto us, hath also purchased us this prerogative, by power of his Holy Spirit, we'd be able to forsake the world and ourselves, so as our fleshly affections shall not overmaster us. And although we be full of disobedience, yet shall God's Spirit overrule us to hold them down and to keep them in awe. And therefore it is said, we be risen again with him, as St. Paul declareth likewise in the forealleged text of the Colossians, Colossians 2:12. But this was not yet manifested under the law. Therefore it was requisite that the fathers which lived at that time should have some help such as with the sacrifices were, to feed them in the hope of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, so as they might know their sins were cleansed away by the blood of a mediator. Likewise they had a Sabbath day as a warrant of the grace that was purchased us to mortify our thoughts and affections, that God might live in us by the power of his Holy Spirit, Galatians 2:19 and 20. Now we have some entrance to conceive, which was touched briefly before, that is to wit, that the Sabbath day was a figure to represent the thing that was fulfilled indeed at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore let us mark well that the Sabbath day extended to the whole service of God, to show that men should not honour him purely, but by renouncing themselves and by being separated from the defilements of the world and of their own flesh. And for the same cause were the Jews rebuked likewise by the prophet Ezekiel for not keeping the Sabbath day. And it is told them in such wise as if they had broken the law, the whole law generally, and not without cause, for he that despiseth the Sabbath day hath as much as in himself thrust the whole service of God underfoot. And if the day of rest be not kept, all the residue is nothing worth, according to the saying of the prophet Isaiah. Men must bereave themselves of their own virtues and be contented to forego them, or else it is not the Lord's Sabbath. And that's Isaiah 58:13. Neither doth he like or allow of it. Hereby we see it is no purpose to observe the ceremony alone. For had the Jews kept the ceremony never so straitly, in assembling together on the Sabbath day, without stirring one finger in their household business, and yet in the meanwhile nourisheth their own wicked affections, and afterward put them in effect, it had been but a mocking of God by abusing of his name, and by defacing and falsifying the whole order that he had ordained accordingly, also as he upbraideth them, but the chief thing was to have an eye to the true meaning of the figure, that is to wit, to the spiritual serving of God. And yet therewithal behoved the Jews to keep the ceremony also that was commanded them. For God did so bridle them, as he vouchsafed not to let them have the substance of things alone by itself, but he would that they should also have the shadows of them wherewithal, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:20. And hereby we see the thing that St. Paul speaketh, namely that as now we be no more tied to the old bondage of keeping the Sabbath day, for we must do of much honour to Jesus Christ, so much honour to Jesus Christ, as to hold ourselves contented with that which he hath brought us in his own person, without the having of the outward things any more that were under the law. Now we see how this observation concerneth us at this day. As touching the ceremony itself, it is past, as I said, and therefore we must come to the substance, which is to serve God, that is to serve God well. We must learn to forbear all our own wills and all our own thoughts and affections. And why? Because when we will needs be wise in our own conceits to imagine this or that to serve God with all, we mar all. Therefore our own wisdom must be laid down, and we must hear God speak without following our own will or fancy. Thus the first entrance to keep the Sabbath day as we ought to do is not to leave the thing that seemeth good to ourselves, for we must rest. And how must we rest? We must stand at a stay, so as our thoughts run not roving abroad to invent one thing or another. We must, say I, continue quietly at one stay in the obedience of our God. And when we be tempted by our own lusts, we must consider that all our lewd and disobedient affections are enemies to God, every one of them. Therefore we must rest still in that behalf, and refer ourselves unto God, that he only may work in us, and guide and govern us by his Holy Spirit. Hereby we see God overslipped not anything when he ordained the Sabbath day, and since it had so large a scope, what want we more to teach us a perfect doctrine of holiness when we have the things which the Holy Ghost hath set before us? The matter is that we should live holily in the obedience of our God. And how is that to be done? Even by receiving his single word, and by fashioning ourselves according to his righteousness. Now, forasmuch as the things which we have of our own nature are contrary thereunto, we must begin at this end of renouncing ourselves. That being done, we have all that is requisite to the serving of God. But it is very hard to be done, and therefore, when we hear that God commandeth us to keep the Sabbath day, let us look that we mark and consider that it will not be done with playing, but that we must enforce ourselves, and we shall have profited greatly all our life, if we keep it well, that is to wit, by renouncing whatsoever we have of our own, and by dedicating ourselves wholly unto our God. And we ought to be the more inflamed to the spiritual keeping of the Sabbath of the Lord, seeing we be set free from the slavish subjection of the law, and God hath granted greater privileges to us than he did to the fathers of old time, insomuch that he is contented with our mortifying of the old man, to be renewed again by the power of his Holy Spirit, and we be no more bond to the ceremony than was kept so straitly under the law. Bound to the ceremony that was kept so straitly under the law. Seeing that God handleth us so lovingly, it bindeth us the more to have an eye to the principle, that we may observe it duly. Yet, and we must not allege that the ancient fathers had that ceremony to quick the up, which served them as a spur. For insomuch as our Lord Jesus Christ is come, we have much more than the outward and visible sign. And forasmuch as all the things that were figured in those shadows were accomplished in him, we must not crave still the things that were under the law, Thus you see how the thing that is ordained here concerning the Sabbath day is now fulfilled, at leastwise as in respect to the truth of the figure which the fathers had but in shadow. And in very deed, look what was commanded concerning the day of rest, must needs belong to us as well as to them. For let us take God's law in itself, and we shall have an everlasting rule of righteousness, and it is certain that under the Ten Commandments God intended to give a rule that should endure for ever. Therefore let us not think that the things which Moses speaketh of the Sabbath day are needless for us, not for that the figure remaineth still in force, but because we have the truth thereof. Apologies for that. In very deed, look what was commanded concerning the day of rest must needs belong to us as well as to them. For let us take God's law in itself, and we shall have an everlasting rule of righteousness. And it is certain that under the Ten Commandments God intended to give a rule that should endure for ever. Therefore let us not think that the things which Moses speaketh of the Sabbath day are needless for us, not for that figure remaineth still in force, but because we have the truth thereof. And for the same cause the Apostle, in the fourth to the Hebrews, applieth the things that were spoken of the Sabbath day to the instruction of the Christians and of the new church. For he showeth us that we must fashion ourselves like to our God, and that this is our full felicity and perfection, because the whole sovereign welfare of man consisteth in being created after the image of God. What is to be done now, seeing that the said image is defaced by sin, but that it may be repaired again? You see then that the way for us to attain to perfection is to fashion ourselves like to our God, and to yield to his will, and to inquire of his works, that we may do the like. Wherefore let us understand that to serve God well, we at this day be commanded to strain ourselves to the uttermost of our power, to subdue our own thoughts, affections, and desires, that God may reign in us and rule in us by his Holy Spirit. And therefore it is in vain for all hypocrites to gloze, and to get a fair countenance upon their doings. For so long as wicked countenances lie lurking in their hearts, for so long as they be full of envy, rancour, ambition, cruelty, or guile, it is certain that they do nothing else but break the Sabbath day. And therefore we may conclude that they overthrow the whole service of God, according to that which I alleged afore out of Ezekiel. As much as is said, therefore, in Jeremiah 17:24, and indeed, this is the cause why the ceremony was so straitly looked to under the law. Think we that God did ever take pleasure in men's idleness? No, surely, but he punished in part the party as Saul that wrought upon the Sabbath day, as him that had murdered a man. And why so? It seemeth to be a cruelty that a man should be put to death for cleaving of a little wood upon the Sabbath day, as if he had committed murder. But yet God condemned him to death that cleave wood upon the Sabbath day. And why? Because under that figure was comprehended the whole service of God. And for the same cause it is said in Jeremiah 17:21-28, that they bear burdens and went to cart upon the Sabbath day. And why? It should seem that God stateth too much upon a trifling and childish matter, but he had an eye to the thing that was betokened by the Sabbath day, and when that was so despised by the Jews, it was a traitorousness whereby they showed that they made no reckoning of the law at all. So then, to come again to ourselves, feeling that we have not this figure so straitly nowadays, but God hath given us a greater liberty, which was purchased for us by the death and passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us learn to give ourselves earnestly unto him, and to understand, as I said afore, that we may all travel in all the residue, and yet it shall be to no purpose unless our affections be bridled, so as we strive to renounce all our own thoughts and desires, in such sort as God may have the whole governing of us, and we protest that we desire nothing else than to rest in him. And for the same cause also doth God set forth himself to us for an example. For he thinks it not enough to command men to rest, but also showeth them the way. For after he had created the world and all that is therein, he himself rested, not that he was weary or had any need of rest, but to allow us to behold his works, that we might rest in them, and therewithal fashion ourselves like unto him. Will we then keep the spiritual rest, like as it is said that God rested from his works? So must we rest also, ceasing to do what seemeth good to ourselves, and whatsoever our own nature coveteth. If this example of God provoke us not, we show well thereby that we neither seek nor in any wise covet our own welfare, but that we will needs continue wilfully in our wretched and cursed state. The sovereign welfare of men, as I said afore, is to stick unto God and be knit unto him. Behold, our Lord calleth us to him and telleth us that we can have no true holiness nor union with him, but by resting from our own works. Now if we be so unruly, that we will always be occupying of our arms and legs, and be still doing that we think good, surely it is as a breaking of the band that is between God and us, and a separating and estranging of ourselves from him as much as in us lieth. And doth it not appear thereby that we seek to be left up as a prey to Satan, to be carried and harried away by him, for want of being any more under the protection of our God? Yes, but what for that? There are very few that think of that. The world sees what liberty all men take to themselves. If one come and tell a man that he must not walk after his own fancy, "Tush," saith he, "I know how to behave myself." But a man could not devise to spite God more manifestly than by such rebelliousness. It is all one as if we would needs show that we will not that he should have any superiority over us. Indeed, men will not be acknowledge that it is so. Okay, I'll read that again. Indeed, men will not acknowledge that it is so, but yet it is so in very deed. For as I have said already, it is no serving of God unless we begin at the abstaining from our own thoughts and affections. Therefore, when men will needs be self-wise and trust that to their own wit, so as they take leave and to do what they list, and to follow their own affections and fancies, and labour not to be repress these, but are offended when others go about to reclaim them, it is a sign that they never wist what it is to serve God, nor that it is the chiefest point of the law. And therefore let us mark well that whereas God alleged his own example, it is to allow us gently to that keeping of the spiritual Sabbath or rest, that we might think ourselves unhappy to be separated from him, as I touched afore. And behold, that band of his conjunction is that we withdraw not ourselves from his religion and truth, but suffer ourselves to be ruled by him. But now it may be demanded why the Jews were commanded to rest but only the seventh day, for our renouncing of our own thoughts and affections must not be for one day in a week, but we must continue in mind all the time of our life. To be short, the rest that God commandeth us is everlasting, and not by pangs or fits, as they say. And why then chose he but one day of the week? It was to show us that when we have done what we can to renounce our wicked lusts, our false pretences, and whatsoever else is of our own nature, yet shall we never be able to attain fully thereunto till we be quite and clean bereft of our flesh. True it is that the faithful ought to keep a continual Sabbath all their life long, by forbearing their own wills and works, and by endeavouring to give themselves over unto God with all humility and submission, so as they may obey him quietly. I say we must do so, or else all that service that we be desirous to do unto God shall be but as feigning, and he will disallow it and reject it. Nevertheless, we cannot so discharge ourselves in renouncing our affections, but that there will always be somewhat worthy of blame in us. St. Paul doth indeed glory that the world was crucified unto him, and he unto the world. But yet for all that, he ceaseth not to say this, that his flesh fighteth against his spirit. Galatians 6:14 and 5:17. Yea, and he confesseth in the 7th of Romans that he felt such strife continually in himself, as he did not that good that he would have done, that is to say, he performed it not with so earnest affection, nor was so fully determined to walk according to the will of God, but that he had always some lets to hinder him, so as to his own seeming, instead of running strongly, he did but go limpingly. That's Romans 7, 15-19. Sith it is so, let us mark that God's ordaining of that seventh day to rest in was not without cause, for thereby he doth us to understand that we cannot attain to that perfect holiness which he requireth at our hands, neither in one day nor in one month. Why so? Because that when we have fought never so lustily against the affections of our flesh and against our wicked thoughts, there will always remain some dregs still till we be fully united to our God, and that he have taken us up into his heavenly kingdom. Until that time we shall always have some temptations, trouble, and unquietness in us, so as we shall well perceive, I mean such of us as endeavour to serve God, that we be still subject to many temptations, and to the feeling of a number of stings whereby we be provoked to this or that. And are not all those things as many hindrances to hold us back from the spiritual rest? If a man rested himself in God, as he should do, he should not conceive anything at all in his mind that might turn him aside from the right way. He should not have any wicked lusts or likings. All such things should be far from him. Now then, when as we conceive a number of lewd imaginations, then doth Satan step in to assail us, and to vex us with unquietness. And when our mind is once inclined to do evil, there are a number of things in us that tickle us and set us still forward. And although we hate that evil, yet so it is that by such temptations we are provoked to go through with it, and thereby it appeareth that it is not an easy matter to wind ourselves to wind ourselves from our wicked lusts, and to bring us to pass, and to bring to pass that they may no more reign in us. So let us go forward with this endeavour of keeping God's spiritual Sabbath, for we shall never attain fully to it until the end of our life. But hereby we be put in mind of two things. The one is to mistake that ourselves, one is to mistake of ourselves, and to mourn continually, and consider that although to our own seeming we have taken never so great pain to obey our God, yet notwithstanding we be yet on our way still, and we come far short of fulfilling the things that are required and commanded in the law. Thus have we cause to humble ourselves, because God shall always find enough and too much to condemn in us as concerning our serving of him, and also because that the spiritual rest is not yet such as he hath commanded, nothing near. And like as we have occasion to humble ourselves and to be sorry with true repentance, so ought we on the other side to be more moved and quickened up to go forward, sith we see our own wants as thus. True it is that God hath given me the grace to be desirous to serve him, but how do I behave myself therein? Alas, I am yet far off from doing it. Sith we see it is so, what should we do but enforce ourselves? Therefore, with our abhorring of that evil which is in us, let us also be the more earnest to profit still in this rest, and to go forward in it, and let every of us daily call himself to account, You see then that God, having given us occasion to humble ourselves all the time of our life, showeth us that we must be earnest in correcting our vices and in mortifying our flesh daily more and more, and consider that it is not enough for us to have our old man crucified in part, unless we be also quite buried with Jesus Christ. As faith, St. Paul in the 7th to the Romans, that's Romans 7:4, before alleged, thus much concerning the Sabbath day, whereof mention is made in this place. Now must we come to the second point, which is, as I have said already, the Sabbath day was a policy or order whereby to exercise the faithful in the service of God. For that day was ordained for men to assemble in, to hear the doctrine of the law preached, to communicate together with sacrifices, and to call upon the name of God. As touch these points, it belongeth us well to us as to the people of old time. For albeit that the figure be ceased, I mean the same that St. Paul speaketh of in the epistle to the Colossians, yet notwithstanding so much as concerneth the order, continueth still and hath his use. And to what end serveth this order? To assemble ourselves in the name of God. True it is that this ought to be done continually, howbeit for our infirmities' sake, or rather by reason of our slothfulness, it is requisite that some one day should be chosen out. If we were as earnest in serving of God as we ought to be, we should not appoint one day in the week only, but every man ought to meet both morning and evening without... Sorry, I've got to get the book right. But every man ought to meet both morning and evening without law written, to be edified more and more by God's word. And truly this exercise is more than needful for us, considering that we be so inclined to evil, as there needeth not anything to thrust us out of the way, and therefore it were expedient for us to come together daily in the name of God. But what? We see that men will serve meet upon the Lord, will... No. We see that men will scarce meet upon the Lord his day. No. Okay, I'll pass on from that. And that most of them must be held to, as it were, by force. Considering then that there is such infirmity in us, let us understand that this order was not made all only for the Jews, that they might have some day wherein to come together, but also for us, so as it belongeth to us as well as to them. But yet herewithal we have to mark that this is not all, for it were a very slender order to have a rest of our hands and feet, and to go no further than so. What then? We must apply this rest to a higher purpose. We must refrain from our own business, which might hinder us from the minding of God's works, and we must call upon his name and exercise ourselves in his word. If we spend the Lord's day in making good cheer and in playing and gaming, is that a God honouring? Is that a good honouring of God? Nay, is it not a mockery? Yea, and a very unhallowing of his name? Yes. But when the shop windows are shut in on the Lord's day, and men travel not as they do on other days, is it to the end we should have the more leisure and liberty to intend to the things that God commandeth? That is, to wit, to be taught by his word, to meet together, to make confession of our faith, to call upon his name, to exercise ourselves in that use of his sacraments. That is the purpose whereof this order ought to serve us. But now let us see if those which name themselves Christians discharge themselves as they ought to do. Behold, a great number think to have that Lord's day most free to follow their own business, and reserve that day for the same purpose as though there were none other day for them to appoint upon all of the week long. And though the bell tolls to bring them to the sermon, yet it seemeth unto them that they have nothing else to do but to think upon their business and to cast up their accounts concerning this and that matter. Others some fall to gluttony and shut up themselves in their houses because they dare not show a manifest contempt in the open streets, but yet the Lord his day is to them but as a covert to shrink aside in from the Church of God. And hereby it appeareth what affection we have towards all Christianity and towards that fearing of God, seeing we make that thing an occasion of withdrawing ourselves further from, off from God, which is given us for a help to bring us nearer unto him. And again we be once gone astray, it serveth to pull us quite unclean away. And is not that a devilish spite of men? Yet notwithstanding it is so common a thing as is pity to see. And would God that examples were more rare and further off to be found. But the world sees how all things are unhallowed, insomuch that most folk have no regard at all of using that day which was ordained to withdraw us from all earthly cares and affairs, that we might give ourselves wholly unto God. Furthermore, we must understand that the Lord, his day, was not appointed all only to the hearing of sermons, but to the end we should apply the rest of the time to that praising of God. Yea, verily, for although he feed us every day, yet do we not mind his gracious benefits sufficiently to magnify them. Indeed, it were a poor thing if we minded not God's benefits, but upon the Lord's day. But because we be occupied too much about our own affairs on the other days, therefore we be not so much given to the serve God in them, as upon the day which is assigned wholly thereunto. The Lord his day then must serve us for a tower to mount up into, to view God's works as afar off, as a time wherein we have nothing to let us or to keep us occupied, but that we may employ all our wits to consider the benefits and gracious gifts that he hath bestowed upon us. And if we can put this thing well in you, that is to say, if we can consider God's works upon the Lord's day, surely we shall be the more given unto it in all the rest of the week after, and the minding thereof will as it were fashion and polish us aforehand, so as our musing upon his works long afore, to the intent we may know how to fare the better by them, will lead us to yield thanks unto our God upon the Monday and all the week after. But if the Lord's day be spent not only in games and pastimes full of vanity, but also in things quite contrary to God, so as men think they have not kept holy the Lord his day, except God be offended diverse ways, if the holy order which God ordained to bring us to him be broken after that fashion, is it any wonder that men play the beasts all the week after? What is to be done then? Let us assure our fellows that it is not enough for us to go to some sermon upon the Lord's day, to receive some good instruction, and to call upon the name of God, but we must also digest the same things, and bend all our wits to consider the gracious things that God hath done for us, and that by that means we must frame ourselves to the things that may lead us to our God, without further travel on that Monday or of all the week after, and to the intent we may not do aught else than record the things by good leisure which he had learned afore. Let our minds be discharged of all things that may hinder us or pluck us back from the considering of God's works. Thus ye see what the order is which we must keep at this day. It is not to keep the ceremony so straight as it was under the bondage of the law, for we have not the figure or shadow any more, but it serveth to call us together that we may be inured according to our infirmity to apply ourselves to better that serving of God, and to dedicate that day wholly unto him, so as we may be utterly withdrawn from the world, and the same may stand us instead all the rest of the week, as I said afore. Yea, and we have to mark also that it is not enough for us to think upon God and his works upon the Lord's day, every man alone by himself, but that we must meet together upon some day, certain to make open confession of our faith. Indeed, this ought to be done every day, as I have said afore, but yet in respect of men's rawness, and by reason of their slothfulness, it is necessary to have one special day dedicated wholly thereunto. It is true that we be not bound to the seventh day, neither do we indeed keep the same day that was appointed to the Jews, for that was the Saturday. But to the intent excuse me, to show the liberty of Christians, the day was changed because Jesus Christ, in his resurrection, did set us free from the bondage of the law and cancelled the obligation thereof. He's quoting here from Colossians 2, 11, 12 and 14. That was the cause why the day was shifted, but yet must we observe the same order of having some day in the week, be it one or be it two, for that is left to the free choice of Christians. Nevertheless, if a people assemble to have the sacraments ministered and to make common prayer unto God, and to show one agreement and union of faith, it is convenient to have some one day certain for that purpose. Then is it not enough for every man to withdraw himself into his own house, whether it be to read the Holy Scripture or to pray unto God? But it is meet that we should come into the company of the faithful, and there show the agreement which we have with all the whole body of the church, by keeping this order which our Lord hath so commanded. But what? There a man may see too apparent, unhallowed of God's service. For as I have touched afore, are there not a great sort which could well find in their hearts to show that they do but mock God, and that they would fain be exempted from the common law? It is true that they will come to a sermon five or six times a year, and what to do there? Forsooth, even to mock at God and all his doctrine. Indeed, they be very swine, which come to defile God's temple, and are worthier to be in stables than there, and they were better to keep themselves at home in their stinking cabins. To be short, it were better that such rascals and filthy villains were quite cut off from the church of God, than that they should come and intermingle themselves after that sort in company with the faithful. But yet how many times come they thither? The bell may ring well enough, for look wherefore a man left them, there shall he find them. So then we ought to be the more diligent and careful in quickening up ourselves to make such confession of our faith as God may be honoured with one common consent among us. And besides that, all superstitions must be banished. For we see how it is an opinion in popery that God is served with idleness. It is not after that sort that we must keep holy the Sabbath day, but to the intent it may be applied to the right and lawful use, we must consider, as I said afore, how our Lord requireth to have this day bestowed in nothing else but in hearing of his word, in making common prayer, in making confession of our faith, and in having the use of the sacraments. Those are the things that we be called to. Howbeit, we see how all things have been corrupted and confounded in that popedom. I don't know what this popedom is. In popedom. For like, I suppose it's St. Peter's. For like as they have allotted days to the honouring of their saints, their he saints and their she saints, and set up images of these, so have they surmised that they were to be worshipped with idleness. But seeing that the world is so given to corruption, it standeth us to much the more in hand to mark well this discourse concerning the Sabbath day, as it is set down here by Moses. And let us consider to what end our Lord commanded the people of old time to have one day in the week to rest in, to the intent that we, knowing how the same is abolished by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, may take ourselves to the spiritual rest, that is to say, dedicate ourselves wholly unto God, forsaking all our own reason and affections. Again, let us retain still the outward order so far as is meet for us, that is to wit, of forbearing our own affairs and worldly business, that we may intend wholly to the minding of God's works, and occupy ourselves in the consideration of the good things that he hath done for us. And above all things, let us strain ourselves to acknowledge the grace that he offereth us daily in his gospel, that we may be strengthened in it still more and more. And when we have bestowed the Lord his day in praying and magnifying God's name and in minding his works, let us show all the week after that we have profited in the same. Now let us kneel down in the presence of our good God with acknowledgement of our faults, praying him to make us feel them better than we have done, and for as much as we can by no means serve him until the frowardness that is in us be done away, and then as much as he hath told us that we shall not cease to fight against his righteousness, so long as we give head to our own lusts and imaginations, it may please our good God to grant us such grace by the power of his Holy Spirit, as we may be fully fashioned like unto him that died and rose again for us to mortify us and to quicken us. So then let us bear the mark of our Lord Jesus Christ, even in renouncing ourselves, and let us so submit us to his will, as our whole seeking may be, to be fashioned like to his righteousness, that his law may be fulfilled in us, even as it is spiritual, and we be changed from flesh to spirit, to live under his obedience. And because there is always so much in us to be misliked, it may please the same good God to bear with our infirmities until his rest be fully brought to pass in us, and that he have taken us up into his heavenly kingdom, that it may please him to grant us grace not only, and so on. Amen. Apologies for the poor quality of the reading, but it's actually quite difficult in places, but I hope you derived as much benefit from that as I did. I certainly derived a lot of benefit from reading that.